Welcome to the Love Irish Food Green Ireland podcast series. This is episode 2. I'm your host, Conal O'Moran. Love Irish Food is dedicated to sustainable and local Irish food and drinks brands, supporting the many, many thousands of local jobs and communities that depend on the Irish food industry. Visit loveirishfood.ie for a full list of your local brands. In this series, we'll be looking at topics affecting the Irish food industry, ranging from things like the shop local movement, funding, selling online, digital marketing, and so much more. We have exceptional food and drink talent lined up to give you their tips, insights, and knowledge, and all in a convenient-sized 30-minute bite. In this episode, I'm joined by an old pal, that's Mary Sadler of Cool Swan. She's the maker of the world's best cream liqueur. And joining me on Zoom from her base in County Waterford, Suzanne Walsh, Brand Manager Ireland with Flahavens, a company at the heart of the real Irish breakfast. And they're here to talk about selling online with a green heart, digital marketing and e-commerce platforms. But they're also here just to talk about selling Irish food and drink better. So, Suzanne, let's start with you. You've told me off air you've actually gone online.
We have. We've taken the brave step to move into the 21st century in earnest. And yeah, only in the last few weeks, Conal. So it's a great step forward for the brand. We're delighted. It would have been amazing had we had this asset in our portfolio 12 months ago, because we would have really benefited from the full duration of lockdowns and pandemic.
But you're not the only company who would have wished that they had done things differently a year and a half ago. What was the big learning or the biggest, oh my God, moment in what you've just gone through?
I suppose, look, it was a long process. It's pretty much been the full year, really, since inception to launch. And there's been a lot of ups and downs on the way. Originally, we had planned to launch pre-Christmas. And I suppose for operational reasons, you know, in a pandemic, when you're asking your operations team to dedicate space and resources to an unproven entity, really, you know, in terms of e-com, we have ventured in this direction before. There were a few raised eyebrows, I have to say, but we postponed anyway launch until after Christmas, and then our lovely friend Brexit gave us some curveballs, in the sense that courier companies then that we had been liaising with pre-Christmas, in terms of, you know, shipping our products across Ireland and the UK, now were telling us that actually our products wouldn't be shipped to the UK because they fell into a food category, a particular food category that they didn't want to deal with. And in fairness, the courier companies have a lot of power at the moment because, you know, e-com is doing so well and they're all so busy. And then other fun things around Brexit in terms of admin charges and customs charges and stuff like that. So all of those lovely things to deal with at a post-Brexit launch. But we liaised. I suppose one of the big learnings for me around it was talk to your peers, talk to your fellow brand managers across different industries who've been there, done that, who have e-com sites up there functioning, because they'll have gone through the same challenges that you're trying to navigate, and they will have huge nuggets of information that can guide you. So I think that was a huge benefit. And shout out to Barry's Tea, Butler's Chocolate and Lily O'Brien's for all their help in guiding us through different sections of the e-com.
Well, this is a recurring theme that I'm already picking up, and this is only episode 2 of this series, is that people reminding people in business that they are there to help. So long as you don't try to eat their market, they will help. And so what a nicer way of bringing in Mary Sadler, because she's already in the e-commerce area, and she tells me that it is a very nice space to be in. And that's selling drink, which is most interesting. Mary, you're very welcome. How long have you been selling online?
Since inception, really. We're sort of 8 years.
Eight years means that you were probably there at the very beginning of the internet almost.
I feel like that sometimes. Very low key. We were, I suppose what the biggest learning for us was that it's going direct to customer. And you lose that. You lose the brand. You lose the reason you did it. You don't get the face-to-face consumer feedback. So we've always, but the stuff we were doing up until pre-pandemic, we were tipping. We were really just tipping at it, and actually proved we weren't as good at it as we should have been. And the pandemic made us much sharper, much wiser. we were pre-pandemic great for offering a sort of a, almost like a supermarket approach. They could come along and pick whatever they liked. That turns out to be quite complicated when it comes to packing and getting stuff out the door weights-wise. And as Suzanne says about the couriers, and they, you know, you've got a you've got many third parties again to deal with before you get to the final consumer. So one of our big learnings, another big learning was getting package sizes that we knew, weights, sizes, everything. Then you could price it properly and you get it out the door a lot faster.
And did you change your size from what it might be available in a supermarket or retailer or a drinks company? Sorry,
no.
A drinks shop?
Well,
no.
What we did was we changed, and if our operations director, Philip, is listening, he came up the stairs one day and he said, "That's it. They can't be buying glasses and chocolate and bottles of this and bottles. They've got to be able to. I need to know. I've only three box sizes. So whatever goes into these three box sizes is what goes on as a retail unit." And actually, as it turned out, it was more what the customer was looking, waiting for, wanted to order. So two bottles there, or three bottles, or two bottles in a glass, or two bottles in a box of chocolates. So it's aligning your operations with your customer demands and with your third party deliverers and couriers. Because again, weights are very important. And we had the same issues as Suzanne had. A big market for us would be the UK, and Brexit, fairly, put a lot of questions in the middle of that. There was a lot of conversations to be had, and we were right at the height of our season when they started coming in. So it's not all plain sailing, but the big win is the customer knowledge. It's being able to, I had forgotten how much we enjoy the customer side of our business, but when you're supplying through third parties, you very seldom see the customer.
But be honest with me now, is that when you say you're talking to the customer, Mary Sadler is not dealing with John Smith or Mary Smith in the UK one-on-one, are you?
Oh, I am. I reply to every single email.
Mary, you've got a business to run.
Yeah, but I'm running that business because those customers took the time to write to us. And it's so important. What you learn from them is, and people are extremely generous. We've had a couple of complications, say, where a glass might break in delivery and people get on. We reply immediately. That wasn't their fault. It isn't anybody's fault it broke. So we'll replace it. But you learn so much from them. And even the fact that they'll come on, instead of, say, posting it on Facebook, that they feel comfortable in coming to the company to have the problem dealt with. It's everything. And you learn, you find out who your customer is too. So it makes your marketing a lot sharper.
Suzanne Walsh, I hope you're ready to start answering a lot of emails.
Well, I don't know if I'll be personally answering them, I do concur with Mary, though. I have to say, like, it's all about, that's the reason, you know, when we were queried about, because a colleague of mine, Alice, and myself developed this e-com site with Board Bia and New World, our agency. But I mean, when I was queried about it internally as to what the objective was for the business, and it's brand building, you know, it's not going to set the world alight for the next few years in terms of revenue, but it has to be brand building, and it has to be building that loyalty with your consumer base. And it's the relationship, and it is that interaction that actually reinforces all those positive brand perceptions amongst your consumers. And they actually go, God, these guys are real people. They have a real story. They really care about whether the product arrived in good condition, whether we had a positive brand experience and everything. So I think that was my answer, you know, overwhelmingly, far beyond any revenue that it's going to generate in the first few years anyway, you know.
And when I was prepping for this, you and I had a chat, and you told me, and I was really surprised at this, there are people in the UK, I think you mentioned the UK, who are buying six packets of your gorgeous porridge online. And I was really surprised at that. I'm just thinking, where do they store all of this?
I know, yeah, because you need big cupboards, I suppose. But I mean, we are very lucky. We do have distribution in retail across in the UK, and, you know, a lot of big diaspora over there as well that buy into Irish products. But UK consumers are buying into it as well. I mean, you know, we couldn't do it all just based on people from Ireland living in the UK. And obviously, you know, sometimes there's out of stocks in different retailers, or a product has been delisted, or another product has been substituted in, and now they can avail of the full range by going online to our website and selecting their favorite product. And like what Mary said, I mean, it'll be such a learning curve for us. We're only in the baby stages of it, you know. We're only 3 weeks, 4 weeks in, but we can already see particular products lifting for UK consumers, and likewise, you know, the different products that Irish consumers are selecting. It's going to be really interesting to hone in on that data and really understand. And then we can go back to the retail customers and go, look, there is a demand for this product. We have direct customers who are coming in and paying shipping so that they can have their, you know, month supply of oats over there. No, really interesting. But there's a lot, I have to say, I was looking before the call, Conal, about, you know, what the nature of the orders were coming in from the UK. And there's a lot of McGraths and a lot of Kellys. And so I've no doubt that they have Irish connections, to be fair.
Because I was asking you whether you had known this, as in, were you creating a brand new market? Yes, you are. But there is some legacy there. How many generations of Flahavens have there been, do you remember?
We're in our seventh generation.
That is now. Fantastic. Yeah. What a great legacy.
So over 230 years. So yeah.
And a further question just on that, Suzanne. Do you, or have you tracked, how far away are people outside of the UK? Are they getting in touch with you? Have you got anybody from Australia or Philippines or anywhere like that?
Yeah, I mean, we have requests coming through from across the world. But, you know, interestingly, and James Flavin was talking to the Tribune at the Business Post recently about it. Like, Korea is a big market for us. I mean, South Korea, and who would have thought? And our NPD department at the moment is trying to develop new products for South Korea that include fish oils and all sorts of different things we would never have imagined for Irish consumers. So yeah, it's a different market. But yeah, they're big on oats over there, and who would have imagined? But great for us. We'll take it.
And I know from Joe Brown of Joe Brown Skincare that the Korean market has 50 or 60 million people. So simple maths, 10 times bigger than this little island of ours immediately. So that's, I love that. Mary, how far away from Ireland are your consumers?
On planet Earth, I got an email this morning from a gentleman in Japan.
Oh, fabulous.
And we've had emails from NASA, from space stations. So we've even gone into orbit. We haven't been able to get it there yet, however. I've had to send it down to Cape Canaveral. But
you, I know you are, obviously, after 8 years, you're well prepared to ship anywhere in the world. Suzanne, can you ship anywhere in the world?
Not at the moment. At the moment, we've just dipped our toe in the water with Ireland and UK. We're trying to take it a bit slowly, make sure we can manage everything and do it very effectively. And then we are hoping to extend it to Europe and then obviously the US, because we have consumers there. And yeah, we had a call from a guy in Alaska recently, wondering when we'd be able to ship to him. So,
but there's nothing like gorgeous hot porridge in a very cold climate. Now, that's me imagining. Totally. Alaska's always cold. I've never been there. One question that I'm sure startups, early stagers, will be asking, and it's a moving answer, I would say, for both of you, is where do you learn initially about what e-commerce platforms are? You know, how do you start? In the first instance, Mary, where would you start if you were starting now?
It's a very good question.
I presume the software or the possibilities are just changing on the hour?
Yes and no, depending on your appetite for change, because there's quite a bit goes into kind of moving your platform. Where does it start? We were effectively a startup. So, do you know, when we started the online, we couldn't have brought in agencies or people to assist us. So we asked a very good friend of ours, and he said, oh, look, there's three particular platforms. We ended up with WooCommerce, as it turned out. In the interim, we've been offered several other platforms, but WooCommerce is doing exactly what we needed to do, and we've learned our way through it. So I suppose it's like everything in life. You do your bit of homework, and then you commit.
Yeah.
What Suzanne is saying there, test, trial, test, trial, test, trial. That's the only advice I could give anybody. There isn't a silver bullet. That's the one thing I've learned. There's no one thing you will do. It's the commitment to what you've decided to do, testing and trialing, and not bringing everybody down. If you go too hard at it, you'll destroy somebody in the way. But if you test and trial it, and I'm not talking about taking years, I'm talking about what Suzanne is saying there. They're 4 weeks at it, they're learning their way. You could find after 8 weeks you're comfortable, or 18 weeks you're comfortable to go to the next stage. So we're still on WooCommerce. And it's still serving our way. And then we ended up, you find there's an expert for everything. We've a fabulous digital company that works with us now, and they know how WooCommerce operates. So,
well, anybody who wants to know that can contact you directly and find out who you recommend. Because I presume, Susanna, you're obviously a much larger, I won't say a corporation is probably the wrong term to use, but you're a big company now, and therefore you were able to maybe go up the chain a little bit more.
Yeah, well, to be honest, we're working off WooCommerce as well.
There you go.
Mary's surprisingly, very happy with that. Totally. I mean, what one learning I suppose we had, we reached out to Board BIA very early on for guidance on it because, you know, I had some knowledge of e-com from Lily O'Brien's, my previous role, but really, like, it was such an asset to us to have Board BIA guiding us through the process. So they helped us tender out to a web agency, and we identified a web agency that created our standard website. And then with that agency, we moved on to the e-com. But Board BIA did actually participate and guide throughout and kept us on track. And it was a great asset to have, you know, to have that kind of feedback from an external and just tease out all the things, you know, because obviously you're ingrained in your brand, you're ingrained in the products that you have. And, you know, you can be very kind of insular about, no, there'll be definitely demand for X. But actually, it's good to get external feedback and go, well, is that the way to go? Or do you want to give a bit more flexibility to the consumer? Or, you know, just to push and question a little bit around it when you're developing the concepts. We went with WooCommerce as well, and we're happy with it so far. Anyway, it's working very well.
You are listening to the Love Irish Food podcast. Love Irish Food, helping Irish shoppers make informed choices about buying local Irish food and drink brands.
This is a Love Irish Food podcast, and I wouldn't be right of me not to ask, the use of the term or the slogan Love Irish Food, is that important on your e-commerce site and on your e-commerce selling, Mary?
Yeah, for a number of reasons. One is this whole thing of made in Ireland and produced in Ireland and processed in Ireland, it can be very confusing for people. And I think overall, people, even if I'm buying something and I'm buying in France, I want to know it's French, And so how do you assist the customer? So we put up the little Love Irish Food brand. And because of the work the organization puts into it, it validates itself. Then the other thing is being associated with companies like Flavin's or Barry's, McCambridge's. It's just, you know, you tell your own story.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah, yeah. I have a great colleague, and he often says to me, when I'm talking to him, he says, you're explaining, so you're losing. You got to stop now. And Love Irish Food stops you having to explain. By putting the logo up, it's very clear to people that you're a reputable, strong Irish brand, and you come from a strong, stable,
properly made in Ireland and sourced, etc. Yeah. Same question to you, Suzanne, about using the strapline of Love Irish Food.
Yeah, totally. It's on the website, and we use it proudly, and it's on a lot of our packaging as well. And as Mary said, it defies any explanation, or it doesn't require any explanation. It's there, plain and simple. And it just gives that mark of authenticity, I think, to brands. And obviously, we have a strong heritage story to tell anyway. It's lovely to be part of that wider community and to lean on them when we need to, and to know that there's someone flying the flag for authentic Irish brands with real heritage and real provenance. And it's a great calling card for us, and we definitely use it proudly.
Now, I'm here to ask kind of vaguely hard questions, and here's one for you, and I haven't prepped this with either of you. Your bread and butter, your real income, comes from retail. Is there, Suzanne, pushback at all from retail when they see you going online? Are they saying, here, what are you up to?
Well, funny story. We put up the We're Open Now online shop, up on our email banners, and our national accounts manager told me she didn't put it on hers because she'd be getting calls from the buyers. But no, she was on a call recently with one of the top retailers, and one of the buyers said, oh, I spotted you on LinkedIn and you have a new online shop. And she was kind of nervous, but no, look, they're interested. They're interested in everything we're doing. We're not competing directly. We're not going head to head. We have particular hampers and added value items that are going to be online and available to the consumers on our shop that wouldn't be in store. So we don't see it as a competitive move, to be honest.
Well, I'm one of those people that I feel that if you're coming onto a podcast like this, you should really give a shout out to what kind of hampers that you are doing. Take the advantage of the ad that while you're chatting to me.
So Absolutely, I will. Yeah.
What will I be able to buy online?
Well, look, we thought about it long and hard, to be honest, about how we could, because, you know, Flavins has such strong distribution across the market and you can pick it up in any local supermarket. So we felt we needed to offer particular bundles addressing different consumer need states. So we have a baking with Flavins bundle. We have a taste of Flavins bundle, which showcases the granolas, the mueslis, the Progress oatlets, the flapjacks, everything from the range. We have an organic bundle, an overnight oats bundle, where you can have it convenient or make it from scratch yourself. And then we have your build your own bundle, where if you have particular products that you love and you can't access in your local supermarket, there you go. You go online and you can order those yourself.
That was an excellent ad. Well done.
There you go.
Mary, the same question to you about the retailer is, have you seen a retail pushback and saying, what are you doing?
No, no.
And I'm wondering, why not? Why would they not, you know, give out to you?
One, I suppose we're in uncharted territories in as much as we're right in the middle of a pandemic. So that's really where online for brands like ourselves have grown. And also I think there's a general acceptance that going direct to the customer is a new space. I think we're all going to learn over the next 10 years how people view it from, as Suzanne says, we're not competing with them, or at least that's our view. So we'll wait and see what transpires over the next few years to see what happens and how they view whether or not a brand is competing with them. But for many years, people have had shops, you know, small shops on site to their business and also supplying through the big retailer. So there's customers are everywhere.
And shops can and are disappearing. Do you ever sit and contemplate whether in those 10 years that you're talking about, that it'll be mostly that the bulk of your business will be online?
From our perspective, because we don't own retail, we kind of are already there. We supply almost virtually when you're dealing with retailers and multiples. So I don't see a huge change. If you ask me, though, overall, do I think the high street is dead? No, I really don't think it is. I think it'll come back in a reimagined format. And I think people have been dreaming about this for ages. I see a big move being made by Primark where you're going to have, you come in and you pick a hologram of what you want to pick and the clothes will drop from the ceiling and all this artificial intelligence that we're using. But overall, I don't believe the high street. I don't believe retail is dead. At the moment, it's probably the only social activity that people have and they've flocked to it. And, you know, nobody's given up on it because of online.
But by retail, you're talking about buying your Flavins or buying your clothes.
Exactly.
You're
exactly.
Not talking about your dresser or your hot tub. Suzanne, is there any chat within Flavins that you will be selling more and more and more online? And by that, I don't mean like incrementally 1%, a big chunk in the future.
Oh, I mean, I suppose, you know, I'm flying the flag for it in there at the moment, Cuddle, and I have big ambitions for it. You know, I can see huge potential and I can see it driving our exports actually and reinforcing our exports. So I think, look, it's a global opportunity. This isn't small scale, you know, trying to fulfill the order up the road. Like we want to go global with this. But yeah, I mean, I can see it growing hugely, but it's not going to rival anything we're doing in retail or even food service for the next few years anyway.
Now, since you've only just launched, it would be unfair of me to try to pin you down on the demographics that you're seeing. But Mary, you must have an idea as to the demographics that are buying from you, mm-hmm. because you've had that experience. Younger, older, anything surprising?
Yeah. So we've always instinctively felt our audience were younger. And we weren't tracking to your traditional Irish cream audience, but the online sales have proved our average age of consumers 35. And it's
so 50, that's young.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For cream, it's young. 52-48, female to male, which is another one. We've always thought for a very long time, and thus why we've a white and blue bottle. We've stripped it back, so it's got kind of no specific gender approach.
You had thought it was a female.
We had thought it was a male-female audience. We had thought for a long time, a lot more men drink cream than
do
women.
They?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot more men indulge because they don't worry as much about their waistline. So when it comes to decisions, they go on taste, they go on experience they had with this. A lot of women, they like it, but that niggling little thing of, oh, might be a bit fattening or might be a bit this. Now, the good news is it's only 150 calories to a glass of Coutts wine. So we beat everything from gin and tonic to wine. So we're not as good as porridge. But
Suzanne's taking notes here.
Yeah,
we're not as good to me, Mary, on that alone.
Yeah, we're not as good as porridge, Suzanne, in terms of health and well-being, but it's a very low-calorie drink because we only use natural products in it. But we were pleasantly surprised. And what alluding to what Suzanne said earlier, that kind of data is vital when you're dealing with your retailers because everybody's busy. Everybody gets into a silo. You know, you're trotting along. You put creams on the shelf where you believe the generation who are buying it are able to access it. And then we're able to come and say, no, look, trial it over there and see what happens. And bingo, your customer flocks to it. So that's been, as I said earlier, it's the customer. It's understanding your customer. They're the reason we're in business. We're bringing a product they want to buy and being online with them and social media generally gives you invaluable access to how they approach your brand and when they use it and why they want it.
And I gave Suzanne the opportunity to have her little ad. So you're allowed your little ad. Give the little backstory. I love the backstory here. You had nothing. In fact, I'll go further. You were born and bred next door to me down in Black Rock, County Dublin. And now you are the world's number one cream liqueur producer.
Yeah.
I love that story. How come?
How did it happen?
Yeah, the brief version.
Oh, yeah. Just pure determination, Colin. We were super lucky. We added cream, whiskey.
Hang on a second. No, the bit before that, you had to get to a farm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I married a farmer. There you are. That took me out of Black Rock.
Exactly.
Took me up to County Meath. And I was travelling at the time, bizarrely, for Diageo. I was on the corporate finance end of it there. And my husband is a solid, quiet gentleman. And we weren't married that long. And I was gone 3 weeks out of four. And one day he said to me, do you think this will last? So I took that to say, oh, maybe not, because God love me, he couldn't move the sheep. Farming is very routine, you know. I have to laugh when people say gardening is really taking off. Gardening and farming and having children are all very alike. It's 100% commitment. There's no two-week holiday in the Riviera when you run the farm because cows are cows, they're 365 days of the year.
And then you decided to upscale your cows, and then they are producing your cream, isn't that it? That is the backstory.
That's us.
And I love it.
Yeah.
So you know, not quite farm to fork, farm to
glass,
gulp.
Farm to lips. Yeah, farm to lips. we know exactly where the core ingredient, which is cream. And we're big advocates of the quality of the cream that we produce here from the grass-fed livestock that we produce. But it's that, and it's the secret is all in the cream. I've said this to you before, Conal, the science of cream. It's that the fully natural cream is a binding. I don't have to add anything. It naturally binds to the whiskey and the white chocolate. And that's why our product is 100% natural. And we offer two sizes and glasses on our website for anybody who's interested. You can get the 700, the litre, and our beautiful signature glasses.
That was an excellent ad as well. Listen, we're almost out of time. Suzanne, I better ask you, any final thoughts, anything that anybody listening to, certainly the earlier stage companies, do this or don't do that? Just any top tip?
I think research, Conal, really at the beginning and see what's working for other brands in your area or beyond and just really understand what their value proposition is and what yours is going to be and how different that's going to be. And, you know, imagine your end consumer and what their need state is and put yourself in their shoes and kind of just visualize what will be compelling as an offering for them. And I think that would be really important. Plus, as I said, lean on any contacts you have, reach out to them, try to pick their brains as to, you know, what challenges they overcome and overcame and all the rest of it. But yeah, I think do your research and really understand as well that, you know, for an e-com site to work, the flow has to be really simple, really easy. Don't put any major kind of obstacles in their way from beginning to end of purchase cycle, and just make it as simple as possible so they can go through and you know, click that button to buy now.
That's what Jeff Bezos made a zillion, grillion, zillion on. Mary, final thoughts?
Yeah, I'd echo everything Suzanne says. I think it's got to be right for you. It's just, we kind of fell into online because we couldn't get distribution in the early stages. So we were kind of tinkering at it. It became much more of a commitment to us during the COVID because it grew. But if it's not right for your business, it's not right for your business. If it is, then as Suzanne says, take your time, keep it simple, keep the offerings. You don't have to be Amazon. You could just be yourself, get your product out there. And I think the key is what Suzanne said earlier. It's about your brand and it's about your customer. Get the learnings.
And Love Irish Food is a network, and that is what it's there for. And if you do want to have a chat with people like Mary or Suzanne, I think you're both willing to take a call and have a chat and guide or maybe misguide people.
Definitely.
That is all we have time for episode 2 of the Love Irish Food Green Ireland podcast series. And speaking with us today were Mary Sadler of Cool Swan and Suzanne Walsh, Brand Manager Ireland with Blahavens. And thank you both very much for joining us. And we will have more on this series. Do listen into episode 3.
The Love Irish Food Podcast. Email info@loveirishfood.ie for more information about membership.